for someone listening to this message, it is the commencement of a journey to destiny. For someone else, it is a confirmation. For yet another, it is a continuation of a journey to destiny. The word will work wonders in you and for you.
All right, turn with me to John chapter 8. We'll read from verse 1 down to verse 12. I'm going to read verses 1 to 9. All of us will read together verses 10 to 12. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who had it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Let's go. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Sweet Holy Spirit, we ask you to help us and deliver us from every form of satanic accusation. In Jesus' name. Right? We're discussing on sexuality and shame. Sexuality and shame. Last week, we discussed on how to manage our sexuality. Practical tips all of us must hold there, listen to over and over and over again, and then practice. Very, very powerful practical tips. God, the summary of what we said last week is the fact that it is God that made us sexual beings. He made the sexual emotion very, very strong. Nobody has any solution to the management of our sexuality better than God does. The best thing is to take God's advice. He understands it even more than we do. I'll tell you what Satan has done in terms of innovation, you know, in teaching the world how to manage sexuality. Since Satan cannot tell people not to commit sin, he wants them to. What is done is to teach people how to kill their conscience, how to do it in such a way that you feel no shame. And then the consequences that come with it, find ways of managing them. The sexually transmitted diseases, find ways of managing them. The unwanted pregnancies, invented abortion, get rid of the thing, you know, and all of that. But more importantly, just try to deal with people's capacity for feeling shame when they break God's laws. Well, what I've discovered is that the issue of sex or our sexuality is seldom discussed. It's an area that is shrouded in a lot of secrecy because it's one area where Satan afflicts most of us with shame. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and they said The Bible records that they had God coming again to have a conversation with them like he used to. They said they ran away. And when God asked them, why did you run away? They said, we were ashamed. Okay? So that sense of guilt, the sense of condemnation, the sense of shame comes naturally with sin. But when it comes specifically to this issue, this area of our sexuality, Satan does extra work on it. You see, everybody was born with the sin nature. People make mistakes, even after you become a born-again Christian. But Satan wants to disable us. He wants to frustrate our prayer lives. Because once that sense of guilt and shame and condemnation is there, we find it very difficult to stand up before God with confidence. If we cannot stand God with boldness, stand before God with boldness and with confidence, it becomes very difficult for us to confront Satan over the issues of our lives. This issue of guilt and a sense of condemnation is dealt with in scriptures. Okay? And I want us to be able to deal with it. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another. That's one of the things we discussed last week. That everyone needs an accountability partner. There's got to be someone that you can be open with, that you can talk to. The sexual emotion is so strong, it will drive you to do crazy things if there isn't someone you can talk to. There is power in saying it. There's power in talking about it. Confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. However, most people cannot talk to anybody about it. And shame thrives in secrecy. This shame, Satan is able to exploit it. He's able to plague us with guilt when we shroud everything in secrecy. That's why I realize when we start, when we want to discuss this issue, you know, people go quiet. People look, you know, very funny. Interestingly, it's an open subject. You can't run away from it. You're a sexual being. The fact that you're a man or that you're a woman already shows that you're a sexual being. So why are we shy or ashamed to discuss about it? The average person is fighting a battle with shame. Shame eats away at our self-esteem. Satan uses it to plague us. He speaks things into our minds. Tells us we are bad. Okay? All he has to do is just flash pictures of what we did before. What we did wrong before. Says, look, you are no good. You are not qualified. In the place of prayer, Satan sometimes plagues people with guilt. It frustrates their prayer life. All he has to do is just attack them with a pang of guilt or shame. And it's just does by flashing what we did before that was wrong. So, but there's one ultimate message Satan wants to qualify, wants to communicate. You are bad. You're a bad person. Why? He says it's because of the sins you committed before. It comes in diverse ways, and I'll mention just a few of them. Some people were abused when they were young. It's very interesting how, you know, you have a young person, maybe 10 years old or 12 year old or 13 year old, young person violated by an adult. And I mean, that stamps a picture on the person's mind. And Satan comes and begins to attack the victim with a sense of shame and guilt. You know, a lot of times those things are never said. Those things are never said. It's just covered. There are people who have been raped by family members, raped by uncles or aunties. There are young people who were violated, maybe even by house helps. And they, because of shame, those things are not said. Sometimes, you know the way it works. It's usually authority figures. Okay? And people are afraid to speak out. Sometimes children are afraid to speak out because they wonder, who will believe me? They will not believe me anyway. It's interesting how sometimes even one parent can know and pretend as if they don't know. You know, just because they are afraid to confront that family member who is doing what is wrong. Okay? So some people have been sexually abused or violated. For some others, it's just the fact that, especially for men, while we were young, you know, we didn't know how to manage our sex drives, and not knowing how to legitimately, you know, give expression to them, some solicited prostitutes. Satan, you know, just puts those pictures in there. And the interesting thing is this. Sometimes when a young man goes after prostitutes, Those prostitutes say some things to those young men that stay with them forever. They mock them. Mock them, you know, mock them. Because they don't have confidence anyway. That's what drove them there. Those prostitutes can read it. And they mock them, tease them with it. And those words stay with them for a long time. For some others, it's the fact that while they were, you know, involved in sexual activities, they contracted sexually transmitted diseases. A young man wrote to me several years ago. It was in SS3. That's final year of secondary school. And he had to write, you know, a letter to me and explain how he had been involved in sexual activity. He contracted sexually transmitted diseases. The thing was eating away at his private part, you know, and that reduced in size, and he would once in a while be in pain. And there was just nobody he could say that kind of a thing to because he was ashamed. Okay? Sometimes Satan takes advantage of that. For some others, it's because they were involved in sexual activity. It resulted in unwanted pregnancy. I'm telling you, that is sometimes a big cause of shame. And some people are just unable to get over it. Satan knows. All he has to do is to remind us of what happened before. And for some others, it's just some of those funny things that we do. Voyeurism, you know, peeping at somebody's naked body, you know, through a keyhole, or a crack in the door, or, you know, all those things, all those things, you know, or pornography, or whatever, some masturbation, or maybe homosexuality. But the important thing is that Satan has files on us, and that he brings those things up. There is another interesting dimension to it. When I was in secondary school, I found out that the boys in my class, especially when I was getting to, I think, class 4 in the secondary school, I found out that the guys began to compare the length of their private parts. It can be very damaging to somebody's self-esteem. Very funny. And you know the funny thing? We all ended up, almost all of us ended up with a problem, because most people felt that they didn't have the right size. Very interesting. The question, go and ask a doctor what the right size is. There's no right size. What brings fulfillment is more than the size. But Satan plagues people. I'm telling you, even married people, you'll be surprised sometimes, just find it very difficult to be able to move on, you know, to get fulfillment in this area of their lives because of the shame, you know, that Satan plagues them with. You have, for married people, sometimes it's performance shame. I see a lot of young people who just got married and who are frustrated. Some are afraid. In fact, some men lose their esteem very, very quickly. You know why? Probably because they had never been involved in sexual activity before. They just got married. And then the first few times that they try it in the honeymoon, you know, men have a lot of fantasies, you know, before they get married. And then honeymoon. And then some things go wrong, like premature ejaculation. You were just trying to start, it had finished. And it's very frustrating. You know, things like that. Before you realize it, Satan is plaguing somebody. You know, we manage young couples, quite a lot of young couples in our church. And sometimes we get phone calls from people who are on honeymoon. So, look, we're tired. You know, one couple called and said, you know what? The two of us decided to just take a stroll, just walk and walk around, find other things to do, you know, and just leave. It's frustrating. I know. And it's very interesting. Why should people expect themselves to become experts when they're just starting? It's something that takes time for you to get used to. It takes time to know, you know, but Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Who accuses them before God day and night? Sorry, it's not only before God. He accuses them before themselves. The message is, you are no good. You are not competent. You are inadequate. You know, you are not good enough. You are a failure. Those are the messages that he wants to send across to us. I'll tell you one thing. When people are married and someone commits adultery, the shame that comes with it is very difficult to wipe away. Last week we discussed about the need for us to read Proverbs, you know, read the scriptures, program our minds. Proverbs chapters 5 to 7 are fantastic. If you want to program your mind accurately about sex, read Proverbs chapters 5 to 7. But when you read Proverbs 6, the Bible says it there clearly. It's very difficult to wipe away the shame that comes with adultery. See what Satan does. The person who commits the adultery, Satan plagues the person with shame. The person, the other party who is supposed to be the victim, Satan plagues the person also with shame. See, it was your fault. It was your fault. It was your fault. It's because of you. You are the reason why your husband committed adultery. Or if it is the wife that committed adultery, it is you. It's because you didn't do this. It's because you didn't do that. And he creates a lot of confusion. Okay? So you see, in the story that we read in John chapter 8, Satan's strategy working. It says, they caught the woman in adultery in the very act and brought her to Jesus. The law of Moses says we should stone this woman to death. What do you have to say? And you heard the words that Jesus said to her. Neither do I condemn you. Amen. And this morning, that is the message. If you have been plagued by shame, you found it very difficult to be open about your sexuality. I'm telling you, some people can't even come up to us pastors to ask for prayer or to ask for help or to ask for counseling. And I'm telling you, once Satan is able to isolate you, he will be able to destroy you. Okay? We need to be able to support and help one another, especially in this area. So, you want to be free from shame. One, admit your mistake. Admit your mistake. And please notice, there's no perfect person around. Isn't it interesting? These people dragged the woman to Jesus. And they were accusing her of adultery. You know what Jesus said? Any of you who has not done a similar thing, throw the first one. I permit you now. Stone her. If you have no skeleton in your cupboard, if you have not made any mistakes, you never committed anything, what happened? All of them disappeared, which means everybody was battling with the same problem. Amen? Don't think you have a special problem. Admit your mistake. Ask for forgiveness from God. 1 John chapter 1, if you read verses 7 to 9, if we say we have no sin, we lie, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to do what? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's it. Ask God for forgiveness. Listen to me. Once God forgives you, he forgives you and wipes your plate clean. Don't ask for forgiveness for the same thing 200 times. Lord, I'm really sorry. He says, for what? Say, for what I did. What did you do? It's what I did before I became born again. Say, The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. It says, their sins and their transgressions I will remember no more. So, forgive yourself. Admit your mistake. Ask God for forgiveness. Then forgive yourself. There is no temptation that has taken you but such as is common to man. That's what the Bible says. Forgive yourself. Also, wipe this thing off your record in your mind. Next, talk to someone. Talk to someone. Find someone you can confide in. Someone who is spiritually mature, who will not take your story and spread it around town. Amen. Because that's part of the reason why some people find it very difficult to talk to anybody. Find someone you can trust and say what you did. I have accountability partners and we talk to ourselves. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another so that you may be healed. There's tremendous power in being open about it. I'm telling you, if you don't speak out, Satan will come back and plague you again with shame and with guilt. And then don't do the things that you will be ashamed of anymore. What did Jesus say to the woman? Go and do what? Sin no more. Sin. Stop doing those things that will bring back shame. I guarantee you, Satan is watching. If you go back down that path, he will come after you again hard. So don't do those things that you'll be ashamed of anymore. Now let me wrap this up with some little advice. Because this is one area in which all of us need to be available to support one another. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Let us support one another. This is one of the major areas where Satan plagues us with guilt and shame, and he wants to make us to fail. And one reason why people decide to be secret about this area is because there's nobody they can trust. Imagine this woman caught in adultery. Who was she supposed to talk to? The people who were condemning her, who were criticizing her, who interestingly were doing the same thing? Listen to me. If anyone is overtaken in a trespass, those of you who are spiritual, do what? Restore. Do what? Restore. Listen to me. If your tendency is to run somebody else down, is to criticize them, is to condemn them, is to make them to feel terrible and bad for what they did, you are not spiritually mature. It is a sign of spiritual immaturity. And it is people like that that make church very difficult and turn almost everybody into hypocrites. It's interesting how people have unrealistic expectations about church people. You know, it's very interesting. Who said that everybody that comes to church is perfect? Listen to me. Who said church is a perfect place? Listen, a hotel is different from a hospital. When you go to a hospital, get ready to see mess. Amen. Once you see somebody in a hospital, know that the person came because the person has diseases, isn't it? The only thing is a church is supposed to be a teaching hospital. You know, there's a difference between a hospital and a teaching hospital. So in a hospital, you can treat people. But in a teaching hospital, you treat people, but you also turn people into doctors so that they also help to treat other people. Am I right? So that's how the church works, isn't it? So you see someone in church, say, I used to know that person. This church. A woman went to Jesus and was wiping his feet with her hair. Everybody said, guy, this man is not a man of God. Doesn't he know she's a prostitute? Excuse me, that's what church is about, sir. Church is for bad people who know that they need help, who have enough sense, and who are humble enough to admit that they need help. Sin is not just a concept. It's a spiritual reality. It's a spiritual force. It's a nature fueled by Satan. Nobody by human ability can overcome the power of sin. Only God can help us. So if we can't go to church, where else should we go? Now, if we come to church and we can't be open about our mistakes and ask for help, so where else are we going to get the help? Those of you who are spiritual, do what? Restore. He said, consider yourselves so that you will not also be tempted. You know what I found out? The people who criticize others the most are the ones who fall into the same problem. It's just a matter of time. I've seen it happen even to pastors. Don't run other people down. All of us need help from God. Am I right? Please bow your head with me and let's pray. Can you just ask, Holy Spirit, help me. We've listed the things to do. Admit you made a mistake. Ask God for forgiveness. Forgive yourself. Can you just talk to God quietly for a moment? Only God knows. I've met young people who had done abortion 6 times. I met a young lady, she committed abortion 13 times. God is faithful. There is no kind of sin that God cannot forgive. This morning, ask him for forgiveness. There's nobody who's never made a mistake. Nobody was born perfect except Christ. But if we are humble enough to admit our mistake and ask him to forgive us, he forgives and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And then let's ask him to help us. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. May I ask, if you want us to pray together, somebody here is saying, Pastor, I don't even have a relationship with God. I want God to forgive my sins this morning. Can you please just put your hand on your heart where you are? I'm a sinner. My lifestyle is not right with God. I want God to forgive me today. I don't have a relationship with God. The good news is Jesus paid for your sins and mine on the cross many years ago. We just need to ask for God for forgiveness. That's all. Can you please just put your hand on your heart and we can pray together? Perhaps somebody is saying, well, I've been a Christian before, but I've backslidden into sin so much. If I die today or if Jesus comes, I'm not even sure I will make heaven. Can you also put your hand on your heart, please? I'll pray with you a very short prayer. God bless you for your honesty. God bless you. If your hand is on your heart for this prayer, can you please stand by your chair where you are? We'll be done in 1 minute. You didn't come to this service by accident. God brought you here. God bless you. Can you please stand? God bless you, sir. Can you please stand? If you're standing, please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins on the cross, and I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for our brothers and sisters who are standing. Thank you for the price that Jesus paid on the cross. And thank you because this morning there's forgiveness for them. Thank you especially for the miracle of change in their lives right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everyone present in this service. We thank you for the forgiveness of our sins this morning. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that washes away every stain from our hearts. Thank you also, Lord, for restoration. Restoration of favor with God. Restoration of favor with men. Restoration of lost opportunities. Thank you for freedom from condemnation. And thank you above all for grace to live above sin. In Jesus' name.
We believe that the wonders of the Word of God have begun. For additional information, call 01-793-7415 or 01-815-1435 or email us at contactus@daystarng.org.
Join us for any of our four services at 7 a.m., 8:30 a.m., 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m. at Plot A3C, Ikosi Road, Oregun, Lagos, Nigeria. You could also visit our website at www.daystarng.org.
Or watch the church service at www.daystarng.tv. You are destined to succeed. You will succeed.
Amen.